riffraff.
Tour a little help.
Riffraff.
Big riff.
One more time. I'm going to show you how to do it.
This is the Riff Raff Wrestling Edition with me, Hans, Adam Hyde, and returning champion, a Spooky Manson. And if you think you can take the trouble from this trio of tribulations, you just might want to think again. In fact, you might want to bring your favorite blankie and your piss bottle. That's right, I'm calling you a piss baby that pisses in a bottle for some reason. And contrary to popular belief, the piss does not rise to the top. It gets flushed. And that's what your third favorite toilet podcast is going to do to you. So I guess you're also the piss in this analogy, because you're going to get crushed and flushed. Bring it on!
Well, let me just share one thing with you, Hansi. It looks like something's definitely come floating back up the bowl. The deepest cockroach that you never get rid of is the one that sticks around and tries to climb right up your ass just for doing your duty.
I don't even know. I don't watch wrestling, so I wish I could do one, but I can't even try.
I can't decide if real wrestling is more or less butt and toilet intensive. In most cases, less, but sometimes it really ramps up.
Well, welcome to Riff Raff, everybody.
I'm lightheaded. I have a whole new respect for these performers.
Hans is going to take a beat. We have Spooky Manson on for the second time.
Hey, what's going on? This theme was my idea because I'm a fucking dork, and the only way I relate to music is by imagining how cool it would look to walk out to and have people be like, ooh, not only does she have fantastic taste in tunes, but also she can beat people up.
I mean, there are a lot shittier reasons to listen to music, so. Oh, man.
I used to very much see it from like a DJ perspective, like what would this song do to a room full of people?
Exactly, and you have to consider that dimension of, it's like a first impressions kind of deal. That's really all it is. It's what is the first like character trait that this song pulls into your head? You got to use that. You got to push that knob as far as you can.
It's funny you said that, because I think based on my songs, the first impression people would get is this guy doesn't like metal. But so we each picked songs that have kind of like that would be the intro track to some wrestling character. I know shit about wrestling, so Spooky helped me out a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you heard that can opening, Toilet Radio. Suck it. We're taking everything from you.
Every little.
And
that's another tried wrestling tradition, is just seeing what your competition is doing and copying it exactly. You know, that's a very, very common thing. Preferably what you do is you just buy their actual talent out from under them and put it in your own show.
We already have so much talent coming out of our asses, it doesn't matter.
But. So are we WWF or are we WCW?
Oh man. That remains
W-R-R?
To be seen. I mean, we're probably WCW. We're the young up-and-comers who might be doing better for a while, and then we're going to mismanage everything and just completely tank our schedule. It's going to be great. It's going to be very fun.
Sweet.
I'm very lost in this analogy, but I like it anyway.
Yeah, I just watched a video on Monday Night Raw. I don't know if I might actually... Spooky, you might have shared the one, actually, because the title seems super familiar.
Probably, mm-hmm. Yeah. I did send you guys a couple of, like, you know, quick crash course, like, wrestle culture videos, and one of them is indeed a video called There Will Never Ever Be Another Show Like Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, that's the
and
one.
And it's definitely true. One thing I will say about the video, though, it was definitely made a few years ago because Monday Night Raw has not been good the entire time I've watched it. I was sticking with it for a couple of years, and it was just universally very boring and very, like, I think you'd get one good episode, like, every 3 or 4 months. you'd get something that was really worth sitting down for, and the rest was just homework for pay-per-views.
Well, you know what? There will also never be another show like Riff Raff.
Let's hope so.
I'm sorry. That was shoehorned like crazy. I cringed while saying it. Anyway. Should.
All right, let's do it.
Yeah, that's right. We're starting with one of Inselheit's picks.
Let's bring it in.
The randomization. Mm-hmm. This is going to be Orchid with Weekend at the Fire Academy. Here we go. That was Orchid. Inselheit, what are your thoughts here? What made you pick this track?
Well, first, you're always complaining about how I'm trying to, like, emo-fi or whatever, riff-raff, and so this is my most blatant and shameless attempt. Because Orchid are an emo violence band, which are, like, is like if you took, like, really early screamo before, like, all the stuff that was on, like, MTV, and then tried to turn the music into power violence. So I did, like, a split with, like, Pig Destroyer really far back in the day when they still did grindcore. And they were kind of adjacent to that, but talking about feelings and lame shit like that. So
It's like breeding a bull terrier with one of them little rat chihuahuas.
There you go. So for this song, though, the reason I picked it is I felt like I had a good, like, concept for a wrestler here. So I don't have a name, but, like, there's a point in the song where it kind of, like, goes from, like, this very uneasy dissonant two notes to just kind of, like, it explodes, I would say. And
yeah,
Spooky
told
me
this
type of...
that sort of, like, sparkles down.
Yeah. And so Spooky told me there's a type of wrestler called a berserker that would, like, come out, and there would be, like, I would think there would be, like fire shooting out behind them as they're walking in on that part.
Pyra.
And so it really picks up. She said that they, like, staple their foreheads or something. Something insane like that. And I feel like that...
Yeah, I mean...
Mits with the...
Yeah, so you don't see this so much on, like, televised wrestling anymore, but in like, independent promotions and, like, straight-to-DVD and web-streaming guys, they're still doing, like, the 90s, like, hardcore wrestling thing, where it's just as much about, like, you know, gross-out, like, pain stunts as it is about wrestling psychology and storytelling. Like, these are dudes who, for whatever, they're using, like, light tubes and, you know, spiked bats and crap, and they're just fucking wailing on each other. It's still a lot... it's still theatrical, but, like, the blood is just... it's stomach-turning at times.
I feel like that fits this song.
Yeah.
So...
I know, right?
That was my concept. What did you guys think about the song, about the idea? Hated it all? I don't know.
I hate everything. I do have a note that says archetypical screamo question mark. So you just kind of confirmed that. So that's how far it's come. That's how far I'm into the scene now that I can identify that. It's terrible, and you're welcome. I need to excise that part from my brain. But yeah, I really liked it. It's like a short and intense thing. Probably gives you just enough time to walk down the ramp to the ring.
Not just walk. I think this dude sprints.
Probably,
like,
yeah.
I think, no, the effect of the song is like you're in the middle of a completely different match, right? And it's reaching a fever pitch, and then this quick sample plays over the PA because it's just long enough where you pick up and you're like, oh, wait, they're playing something. And then, you know, just as you realize what it is, just as your mood sets in, it just goes full speed ahead, all at once, bawling and wailing. And that is when, you know, this dude, he's probably got, like that sort of overweight, stocky build. He's got, like, a loose-fitting tank top. He is dashing down the goddamn ramp because he's going to insert himself into this match for absolutely no forethought, no reason. I don't think he even knows who he's going after.
No, he's just stapling foreheads. That's all that is. Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool. I'm glad Spooky was so into this concept, because I was a little spooked out by picking this song initially, but...
You know, I gotta say, it's been a good while since I properly followed a lot of wrestling things, and I'm remembering why I love it so much. Because the problem with it is that it's, like I said earlier, it's a lot of homework. There is so much wrestling shit out there, and so much of it is so interconnected in this organic, rich way, because so many wrestlers are much more free now to basically, you know, do their own promotional videos, shoot their own footage and storyline stuff with each other, not just in video, but also, like, on Twitter and convention appearances, in this giant tapestry. But the thing is, you really do have to follow as much as you can if you want to get anything out of it. And right now, I can only do that with music, you know?
That's fair enough. Yeah, I never even thought about being able to do it with wrestling. That's how undedicated I am. Anyway, cool. I'm glad you liked it. Score one for Eanzy. I'm trying to try to get two, but I don't think I am this episode. Last one was a fluke.
Oh, one last thing I wanted to say about this track is this sort of emo violence kind of sound that this singer has.
Mm-hmm.
It absolutely reminds me of when Brock Lesnar tries to shout really loud and his voice cracks because he doesn't have that much range. I'll send you guys some good videos of that, because this is absolutely what it makes me think of.
Let's do this!
Yeah, this is definitely like vocal polyp screamo for sure.
I only learned earlier today that he's a wrestler. Wasn't he also in MMA?
That's what I thought he was. It was this really great upset in MMA, because, like, again, he made his name in the WWE. So when he came to UFC, people were like, okay, whatever, maybe he's gonna goof around, maybe it's a promotional stunt or something. And then, like, three matches into his career, he wins a goddamn title, because he's Brock Lesnar. He's a fucking mutant. He cannot be stopped.
I will see you on Sunday!
He's for real.
I believe it. And I would never want to say anything else to his face, especially.
Absolutely not.
So yeah, I like the intensity of the track and the sort of surging motion that the riffs have to them. It's crazy. I can see this concept. I can see it in front of my mind's eye now. So approved. So next up, I almost feel like I have to apologize for this. This is certainly a first. We haven't had new metal on the podcast so far. But
if there was ever an episode to bring it out for, it is this
that
one.
That is so true.
Yeah, oh God. I guess so. So. I was struggling a bit with this concept. I actually had one song right away, pretty much, and that's my other pick. And then I was struggling to find something recent, because I like to bring recent or upcoming releases onto the show. Hasn't worked out last time, didn't work out this time, but whatever. We're gonna make up for it someday. I didn't really find anything that fitted it. But anyway. Without further ado, here's Limp Bizkit. Have fun.
Put on my headphones, listen to the Deftones. It's getting crowded in my spaceship, living in in a dream, running from a hate machine. You know it's such a drag when there's people talking down to you. Such a drag thinking everything sucks. Do you walk away with the spit on your face, or do you draw the line just to give them a taste? Cause I know it's never gonna end. If it happens again, I'm going straight for the throat. Another note, don't forget you had a chance. Now I'm off of the sidelines and ready to dance. I gotta fight, fight. You better watch out when my adrenaline kicks. I gotta fight, fight. It's too late, you already been in. Damn. Stick 'em, stick 'em, stick 'em, ha ha ha, stick 'em. Stick 'em, stick 'em.
Are you like antagonizing him? Spooky.
No, it's the good shit. Look, you want your fans to chant your theme song after it's done playing. That's a good sign. It's a good indicator.
Mm-hmm. Well, hearing this song, I would think Limp Bizkit would want their fans to like headbutt a barricade or something. Is this supposed to be like the barricade in front of the band when they're playing, or is it just a generic barricade?
Does it? Yeah, something like that. I mean, I was going to ask, so Hans, you are aware that Limp Bizkit does have, like, a proper history with the WWE,
also,
right?
Something I learned earlier, yes, I watched the mm-hmm. Super mm-hmm. Eyepatch Wolf video on The Undertaker, and him, of uh-huh. all people, had Roland as an intro track for a while.
I think The Undertaker is, like, the main reason that Roland became a popular thing.
Oh, really?
Because it was this big, like, reinvention and comeback for him, you know? He had this total character shift from, like, this sort of, you know, sort of creepy, cartoony, like, carnival scary guy who's like, oh, he's an actual Undertaker, and he wears the suit and the big hat like a Wild West guy. And then he sort of just disappeared for a few months. He came back as this completely different dude. They called him American Badass Undertaker because he wore... You know, he wore bandanas and rode a motorcycle, and he had sunglasses, and he listened to Roland by Limp Bizkit.
Oh, man.
So maybe you should have picked Mortician. No, I'm kidding.
That's a... Oof. We're gonna get to some rapper on shades, though. This is actually, I think, it's maybe a bit of a deep cut, from Limp Bizkit, is from Results May Vary, which I think was the one album they did without Wes Borland. And yes, as was pointed out to me, this is the one that has the phenomenal Behind Blue Eyes cover. So if you haven't heard it, surprise, you haven't missed anything. But a friend of mine, like in eighth grade or something, gave me a mixtape CD kind of thing, and it had this song and Phenomenon from the same album, and Phenomenon is quite tolerable, and this one actually grew on me a lot. I think it's very fun and obviously appropriate because they shout fight a lot, which is something it has in common with one of my runner-ups, Hollow Ground by Hatebreed.
God damn it. You get, like, all the chanting music. I like it.
Yeah.
So, what would the concept for this be? I guess, were you thinking, like, the Undertaker or something? Or
well, I was not necessarily the Undertaker, but it does go in that direction because my main connection to wrestling is like 90s stuff, I suppose. Because when I was like in elementary school, it was always like on the periphery. Like I always had a friend or two who was into it and had like the figurines and the Super Nintendo games or whatever. And my brother for some reason had this poster on the wall with a bunch of WWF wrestlers, and I was looking at that a lot. And bottom line is I would demand to bring back the gimmick, because all those wrestlers back then seemed really cool. And then at some point, like in my teens, I would occasionally catch wrestling at night on television, and it was always just like guy in a Speedo versus the other guy in a Speedo. One of them has hair, and
you couldn't tell them apart, because you missed their entrance.
Ah, that's probably it, yeah.
Son of a bitch.
That's probably it.
Crucial.
Also, I didn't watch the month of backstory on either one. But
It's all right.
Yeah,
it's all
right. So gimmick, and I was thinking, for some reason, I was thinking something Rhino related, like the guy is has like a, let's just say, a full on Rhino costume, and. Is some move that somehow is like a stampede, like he charges into people a lot, and
you're literally describing the wrestler Rhino.
I should have known that there already solid. Was a thing like this.
The thing I love about Rhino is let's see, there's a few things I love about Rhino. One, I have his autograph in one of my books.
Oh, that's neat.
I know, that's crazy, right? No, one of my exes got me Mick Foley's biography for my birthday, and it was a used copy. And the back of it, it was signed by Rhino, apropos of nothing. I think this book might have just gotten passed around at like a wrestling convention or something. But yeah, no, Rhino's signature right in there. No, my favorite thing about Rhino is he does this move called the spear, which is basically a flying tackle. And whenever any other wrestler does it, it's the spear. But when he does it, it's the gore. That's the rules. Rhino does the gore. He doesn't do spears.
Okay.
And yeah, this definitely strikes me as like his kind of tune too, because he's kind of artless. He's not like a full heavy grappler. He's like a scrapper, fist fighter, and again, tackling kind of guy. He's just using his entire body weight as a bludgeon.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing I was thinking. Still go.
Like, if there's any kind of band that really bludgeons you, I would say Limp Bizkit is in that genre. So it all fits. I like this. It all comes together. It's very cohesive.
So this record actually, like one of the promotional things they did for it was they played a WrestleMania 19 the same year. It was a pretty good one, honestly, I gotta say. Like, I remember, I think this was the one where I actually watched with some of my friends. We, like, took a deep dive and tried to find out what the best WrestleMania was. I'm pretty sure 19 was, like, our go-to. Anyway, this is absolute nerd shit that you guys don't have to care about.
All Riffraff is absolute nerd shit, so.
That's true.
Cool.
Oh my god, that's right. WrestleMania 19 is the one where Brock Lesnar, I guess I'm going to keep bringing up, he has this really famous botch that he did at the WrestleMania, where he tried to do what's called a shooting star press. That's where you jump up off the top turnbuckle and do a back flip before landing in a forward headbutt. And he absolutely, like, beefed it and just busted himself bloody. It was horrible to watch.
That sounds like you could snap your neck doing that.
A lot of things in wrestling are like that.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, totally ignorant for the most part, but that sounds crazy.
That is part of the pathos of wrestling. Is like, one of my friends just summed it up so simply to me. He's like, look, those dudes genuinely care more about your entertainment than their own safety. And you gotta respect that.
Madness. But you know who doesn't care about your entertainment? The Riff Raff people. So I'm just gonna keep
clearly not
our podcast name in there. So I will say about this song, so I was into nu metal like really seriously, but I never got into Limp Bizkit. I've only heard like the big hits. I thought Roland was just funny, goofy, like, okay, these guys are just like idiots but are okay with it type of thing. So I'd never heard this song. I Behind Blue Eyes made me cry when I heard it, because I like the Who version very much.
Oh.
Yeah, I know, it's sad. I will say they shout out the Deftones in the song. And
yeah,
I was much
true,
more into
yeah.
Deftones than, and I was kind of like, huh. Fred Durst has some, you know, he actually listens to music. That's amazing. I was never much of a Limp Bizkit fan, but I support this as a troll pick, and I feel like it was a little bit of that, and that made me chuckle.
Honestly, maybe I not. Think Hans might have picked the most accurate cut out of all of us. Just for the social and stylistic reasons, you are absolutely hitting center target on this.
It's kind of like, it's a little bit like Break Stuff Part 2, sort of.
Yeah, I can feel that. I can get that, yeah. I was afraid you were going to put Break Stuff, but...
Nah, that's a little too easy. All right, next up we have the first pick from our guest. This is... Zero to Hero by Diamond Chaser. I guess it's Chaser, but they spell it Chaser, so that's how I have to pronounce it, I guess.
We'll be right back.
class guy to a rock and roll hero. That was Zero to Hero.
Yeah, man. I chose this because, to me, it covers two different territories that I love in wrestling themes. One, because Diamond Chaser is very clearly, like, you know, a throwback sort of band. They're trying to sound like this, you know, classic, you know, 80s, like, very 80s style, bombastic. I guess very not self-aware, which I really like. That really takes me back to, it's called the rock and wrestling era. This is when it was first realized that, hey, we can just have really cool tunes for entrance music, and that becomes a new character thing. Because even, like, wrestling on TV was a really new thing that was being explored. So this is when you get stuff like, you know, you get, like, the rock and roll theme songs for, like, Hulk Hogan and Bret Hart, and they're really swaggering, you know, and really, I guess, more sunny than a lot of, like, the heavy metal stuff you would hear now. You know, like, the guitar tone's a lot warmer, and it's a lot more, like, Sunset Strip sort of arms swinging. Yeah. And I felt that Diamond Chaser really showed up well with this because they have that fantastic lead-in. It's a really great hook that draws you in. It's a great time for, like spotlights to be spinning around and smoke blowing out, getting ready for things. And the other thing I really liked about this is just with this very adroit, light-fingered lead stuff they're working with, it really makes me think of, like a classic sort of Champions. Not like a really huge beefy guy, but a really technique-based dude who's sort of flashy and showy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my main point of reference, honestly, to compare is this dude named Kazuchika Okada, who's he's a Japanese wrestler. He's the company ace at New Japan Pro Wrestling, or at least he was for a few years when I was watching it. And he has a similar theme to this, where it's speedy and it has a little bit of agile guitar stuff in there, and it really suits him and his wrestling style, because he's got a lot of moves he can pull out of his repertoire. He can sort of tailor himself to his opponents. He's just like this, like, Greek heroic kind of competent figure. Another thing I like about Diamond Chaser that's very wrestling appropriate is that they are from Colombia. They're actually from Medellin. But they're trying to sound like French Nwabem. So it's that classic thing of, oh, in wrestling, we're just going to pretend like you're a different nationality. Because, like, you know, when you have...
Is that a thing?
Oh, my God. That's a thing all over the fucking place. Oh. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm not like... I guess I can't say there's not... that there's never been blackface in wrestling, because there definitely has been.
Oh, God.
But, like, yeah, that's a pretty common thing in wrestling, is, like, whatever. If you're from one part of the world, you can sub your nationality in for, like, a bunch of different countries there if it suits the... Yeah.
I see.
And sometimes, like, it sticks with you in interesting ways. Like, in WWE, there's a guy, Kofi Kingston. He's really awesome. Fantastic wrestler. Does a lot of really great stuff in tag teams and on his own. So his name is Kofi Kingston because he was originally billed as being from Jamaica. Yeah, so that was kind of his thing. Like, his finishing move was this flying kick called Trouble in Paradise. It was really great stuff. But Kofi is actually from Ghana, and now he's actually billed as at least, you know, Ghanaian American, but he still keeps the Kofi Kingston name because it's cool, and he's just a chill dude. I guess he's all right with that. But yeah, there's also, like, the phenomenon of people pretending to be, like, ex-Soviet wrestlers to play off of, like, Cold War shit.
Oh, that's
there's
fair.
All kind of crap like that.
Okay. I can see that. I didn't think about that. Yeah, that would make sense. Okay.
Wrestling, it really is like a form of theater. So people will stretch their range to play all kinds of roles.
Ex-Soviet wrestlers reminds me. Have any of you seen GLOW?
Yeah, I enjoyed GLOW quite a bit.
Oh yeah, the villain is like Soviet, no, or something like.
Yeah, like the 80s? Yeah, but also the actual protagonist of the show, I guess. But on the wrestling show, she's the heel, I would say. Zoya, the Destroyer.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a quite entertaining show, even though obviously Mark Maron is basically just himself.
Yeah, himself in the '80s for sure.
Yeah.
I think he's sober now. Hopefully.
I don't know about drinking. I he doesn't do coke anymore for sure, but
yeah,
I don't know,
like,
about
that,
drinking.
That's true. Sober enough, we'll say. I really like this. Yeah, like, this song felt like, yeah, like, kind of like you said, like, has like a sort of a warm feel to the guitars, and it felt very much
it's
like
glittery.
Yeah, Exactly. Sparkly. Like 80s. It made me think of like hair metal, but I hate hair metal. So I didn't, but I didn't hate this. So it's a bit nostalgic, a bit goofy.
The texture of the song, like, it sounds like Tiger Print.
Yeah. You know exactly. What
I
mean?
I don't know if I actually picked up on any like glam vibes or anything, or if that was put in my head by the band pictures in the background of the video.
Oh, I feel like it's all kind of like together.
Yeah, I did put down a trashy glam energy. Really fun riffs, and it's funny that you mentioned a Japanese wrestler, because these lyrics are like English level of bad.
It's very
interesting to see them on the screen, because I would not have understood anything from that.
Yeah,
and even then it was hard to make the connection.
Yeah, and like in his classic days, like in the rock and wrestling days, the Hulk Hogan and other classic American wrestlers who had music like this. They would also do stints at New Japan Pro Wrestling just to, go somewhere else and have new things to do.
Or like some Hollywood stars do like commercials in Japan that you never see here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Some really cool shit. Some of the biggest wrestlers in America right now are only popular because they started in New Japan, or didn't start there, but at least got popular there. But anywho, I've said enough.
Yeah.
Diamond Chase is really cool. I wanted to talk about them in some capacity for a while, but I just kind of missed my chance back in 2020.
Aww.
So, this album's really, really great, and I enjoyed it a lot, and I really want them to keep putting out more stuff.
So we're going back to Terrible... No, I'm kidding.
This is less emo, more hardcore, still not metal, and I don't give a fuck. That's my persona here. I don't know.
Yeah.
This one is probably the most brutal song, honestly. Not sounding, but lyrically.
Good. You're gonna be our monster heel.
Yeah, I do have a follow-up question about what the character is going to do in the ring. But we'll see. We'll get to that. This is Modern Life is War with Martin Atwood. So that was Inzi's second pick, Modern Life is War. What about that?
Well, so I'll give you kind of, so for the people listening, there's, this song is about a character from a graphic novel. A graphic novel is called Skin. It's out of print, but it's basically about a British kid that was born in like the 70s with something called thalidomide birth defects, which is like this medication they would give to pregnant women, and like their kids, they didn't find tested enough, and they kind of like pushed it through, and then kids were born with like almost like flippers instead of hands. I don't know of like a better way to put that. So he's a character that's kind of been wronged by the pharmaceutical industry and has to suffer all this abuse his whole life, and then at the end goes on this huge like vengeance warpath to murder and then rip off the arms of, and then sadly I'm gonna ruin it anyway. I don't know if anybody wants to read this, but this is riffraff, you're getting spoilers. He rips the arms off the CEO and then jumps to his death from a window with just normal length looking arms, and it's just really kind of sad. I thought, though, that would be a really fucking brutal finishing move.
That is awesome. I mean, that is really cool. That's such a great, like, that's such, you know, a great character arc to use as a wrestling vibe, too. That's like an underdog, you know, who's been shunned out. People try to keep him down. Management's against him, but he stomps on up anyway, just through everything they throw at him, until he finally meets the head guy and pulls him into the ring and does his fucking finisher to him. Like, it's great. It's really good.
Yeah. And there's one line in particular that stood out in the context of wrestling, and it was like, one of the lines is like, if he could write the headline in the paper the next day, it would read like, "Violence works in mysterious ways." And I thought that was like, I don't know, very fitting. So yeah, that was the idea. This is like a melodic hardcore band that I really enjoy. But what were you guys' take?
I really dig it. It's got a great lead in. It's got really great like momentum to it. You can sort of leisurely jog in with it, you know, sort of ham it up for a while, and the drums just keep rolling on behind you. It's good for you know, like doing cool poses, just showing off your fans, because they're the reason you're there. You know, they're the ones who are keeping you there.
It's all for the fans.
And again, the whole story included in it sort of helps things even more.
Yeah, for sure, Hans.
Yeah,
give me your hate.
No, I especially in conjunction with this video that like highlights the relevant story points of the graphic novel and also gives the ending away. So I guess we didn't spoil too much. I feel like that there's really like a palpable anger and yeah, maybe a righteous anger,
yeah,
that somehow exactly comes through in the vocals. So I was actually kind of gripped by that, and yeah, I might not listen to this on a regular basis, but I really like this, and
it's definitely ass stomping music.
Doc Martens to the face.
Oh yeah, let the boots do the talking.
Yeah, so my question would have been, yeah, but I guess you answered that. Will the wrestler that comes into this, will he rip people's arms off? I guess something along those lines, right?
Yeah, that was the idea.
What you guys, so the thing I'm thinking of is this move called the surfboard, which okay. I don't know if you guys have seen this, but yeah, it is really an impractical looking move. But I mean, that's the fun thing about wrestling anyway. It's basically where you sort of lock arms and legs with someone and then like lift them over your head and use the tension on their back and shoulders, and it does genuinely look like you're trying to pull their arms out. Like both of them at once.
Oh my god.
If you just want to do one arm, there's more practical things. You can do like the arm bar or the Kimura lock, which is also a Brock Lesnar move. But if you want to go for both of them at once, yeah, the surfboard is the most eye catching way to do that.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's
sounds
rad.
Brutal as fuck. Sweet.
From ripping off arms to unscrewing heads, this next track is another spooky pick. It's Ekulu. Ekulu? Are they... I don't know. Unscrew my head. Let's go. We'll be right back.
Yes. Oh, man, I really dig this record because I'm a total mark for Suicidal Tendencies. I love that sort of, like, funky hardcore. And Ekkolu is, I think, the best reinvention of like, that combination of that theme in, like, a really long time. Their full-length debut from last year is fantastic.
Oh, I was going to say, I definitely caught, like, the crossover-type feel to it, but it's a little more funky, like you said. So I was into that.
Yeah, you kind of want to bounce in your seat a little bit, you know?
Yeah, and it's real tough guy music, so...
Yeah, exactly, yeah. It's a particular flavor of tough guy music. It's like that sort of, gang vocal, don't mess with me, out in the streets kind of tough guy feel. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in the video that goes along with it, where it's just some dudes raging in a tiny room, that's it, there we are, that's what wrestling is. You put some dudes in a very small, enclosed space, and you watch them smack against one another, that's it, it's perfect.
Yeah, even I put down... bouncy hardcore, which is like a style I like. I thought on this one, I like the video concept, especially this dance that the one guy does when the chorus first comes in. Mm-hmm. I want a gif of that, and I thought the drum sound was really interesting because it's kind of, I don't know if it's like reverb or whatever, but it's got something to it that's really cool. And also what stood out to me were these sort of cleanish vocals that come in later on very briefly. That sound a little odd, but kind of helped us stand out even more. And I thought it was a great track and definitely appropriate energy, I think, for the theme.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
I think it reminds me a lot of, like, you guys know how in, like, 2D fighting games, like Street Fighter or whatever, the idle animation where the characters are, like, at the start of the fight, they're bouncing on the balls of their feet. You know,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's the impression that I get from this. You know, a guy who's just so full of energy, he's so loosened up, he's ready to go, really loving his own entrance, and loving his own star power. I think it's like if you had a heel version of being the punky underdog. Like this guy knows he's going places. He knows he's going to fight and beat whoever he's up against. But he's kind of loving the smell of his own farts, too.
Yeah, I feel like this, for me, like, when I listen to this, I got, like, an image of, like, somebody having, like, a fist fight in the pit of a New York hardcore band show or something.
Exactly.
Like, what
exactly.
A fist fight would look
That's
like
at
a Madball show. Yeah. So, and I was like, that is about as wrestling as I can imagine outside of wrestling itself. So, cool.
That sort of punk energy kind of was something I was thinking of too. Because back when I was a kid, like, if I had had if there had been a wrestler that kind of looked like a punk and like had a mohawk and stuff like that, maybe, mm-hmm. I don't know, Leather Jacket or something. I think that would have definitely been my favorite wrestler. Because, like, every year we would used to have, like, we're in the north of Germany, we're not big on carnival, not as much as they are further south, but we used to have carnival in elementary school, and I would always almost always dress up as a punk, like with spray-colored hair and, like ready trainers. Trainers, wow, that's very British. Well, sneakers.
We need to like translate this for for the American audience.
That was something I was also thinking of finding to that effect. The new Inhuman Nature EP seemed mm-hmm. like an option. It's kind of crossover, thrashy kind of, but with a bit of a punk edge. You can hear a track from that on the latest Toilet of Hell mixtape if you're a patron. Nice. On Patreon.
I'm only going to say it that way from now on. Yeah, I really like this. Like, I felt like it fit perfectly with the theme. And what can
I think I'm going to go back to the album because I kind of dismissed it the first time around because I wasn't in the mood, I guess, for that type of energy.
I totally would have missed it. I don't remember who brought it up to me. It was like some passing post. Like, oh yeah, Kulu, you know, check it out, it's a good crossover thrash. And I turn it on, I'm like, oh my god, yeah, this
shit.
Is exactly what
I'm
looking
for. Walls. Let's go.
I guess the vocals are not quite my favorite, so that might have been something that put me off, but maybe I can look past that this time around. We'll see. Okay, all that being said...
All right, let's finish this boy out. Main event time!
Well, I don't know about that. That main event, probably I would have needed to shuffle mine around, and we would have had to add Limp Bizkit now as the closer. Now we have this as a closer, but it's actually the opener on the album that it's from. This is The Cleansing by Alabama Thunder Pussy, and I guess I win best band name for this episode. Let's go.
Very much.
Shock Show. Swimming with a hungry shark. Where the bodies lit on the shore. Danger cuts across the fields, leaving mounds of debris untold. Souring the path of all. Feel the wrath of a woman's skull. All have seen her. Death's dealer. Flushing all peace away.
Was The Cleansing. Is really the first track that came to mind for some reason. It is, once again, just like the Limp Bizkit track, actually, it is from my amazing Rock Jams Spotify playlist, which is just kind of good timey music that I can put on while I'm working or something. It usually puts me in a good mood. This is one of the tracks from that, and it's the opener to their album Open Fire. It's really the only one I know from them, like the only one I'm familiar with. I don't know much about this band, but somehow I really like this intro. Like, I think this is a great opener for the record. The way it kind of builds up some, not atmosphere, but something is coming, and then the guitars really, when everything sets in properly, it's kind of it's like this.
Locks into place like a stick shift gear.
Ooh, beautiful. Whoa. Beautiful.
Yeah, that's why they pay me the big bucks.
Yeah.
Do we?
I've been trying to snip that Patreon money for years.
You mean Patreon? I like it. It has like a... So what was the concept for the wrestler for this?
Well, Spooky, you mentioned earlier that like this moment... of like the intro where the lights are spinning and it's mostly dark in the arena, and then the wrestler sort of comes up slowly, and I think that's a good bit for the intro.
Yeah, a good 30-second build up on there.
Yeah. And then I don't know. I would, for some reason, I guess it's the band name. I don't know if it's the band name or the actual music that made me think of this, but I was thinking something along the lines of cowboy.
Like an old-timey, like, you know, southern barnstorming wrestling.
I don't know about that. I was thinking like some kind of a douchebag, I guess kind of a heel that you're supposed to hate. Cowboy hat,
F-150 in human form.
Cowboy hat, like shitty wraparound Oakley shades to go with that, for some reason I'm thinking blue and gray, like a jacket or a shirt with like the frills, you know, all over the chest and under the arms, like the
Easy Rider, whatever.
Super shitty cowboy getup, and he comes in.
Yeah,
he
awesome.
Actually comes in on a mechanical bull.
Shit.
I would hate this character so much.
Yes.
I love it.
Yeah,
yes.
No, I would see this dude get his ass kicked. I like it. The other thing
y'all,
I love,
oh my god.
The other thing I love is that, like, beyond the fantastic name brand value of Alabama Thunder Pussy, I also want to say two guys in this band have fantastic wrestling names. Like, they're almost ready to go tag team, because I love this. One of them is Johnny Throckmorton is their singer. Throckmorton. That's fantastic. And their guitarist for a long time, who was also in Windhand for a long time, founding member of Windhand, Ezekiah Bogdan. God, that's so fucking cool. I don't even know they make names like that anymore. That's the shit.
I love it. Yeah, I got the same kind of... I definitely got the southern rock, like heavy metal type, almost Lynyrd Skynyrd feel. Mm-hmm. That was one of my notes. I put, like, it sounds like Lynyrd Skynyrd, but I don't absolutely hate it.
Yeah, it's reckless. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like a dirt bike competition in your ears. I'm really feeling this.
And I only knew about this band. Like, I'd heard this band before. I'd never really listened to them. But they were on an I Hate God covers album. One of their covers albums.
That makes a lot of sense.
Because that band needs a lot of charity and help from the community.
Oh, yeah.
But we love them.
Yeah. They just need support in this trying time for them, which is all the time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They just need a couple of new organs. You know.
That's their thing, yeah. He seemed like, I saw them live, he seemed like he was doing better, the singer Mike, since he got the transplant. Anyway, enough about I Hate God. So I also, I guess maybe because of that, I associate I Hate God a little bit with, like, kind of the southern metal scene, and maybe that's why I kind of lumped, I thought of Alabama Thunder Pussy as being like that too. So yeah, I felt like all of that kind of fed into a wrestling personality too, and kind of, I didn't have it nearly as fleshed out as the one that you described, Hans, but I absolutely could see some douchebag cowboy that I would love to hate.
Yeah.
Coming out to this music, and so much approve.
One last note, since we mentioned the singer already, the way he kind of just keeps climbing at the end of the verse into the utterly ridiculous, like, falsetto, it's kind of great, I gotta say. And with that, unless you have anything to add, that's it for the episode.
Thank you for tuning in to another exciting installment of the Riff Raff podcast.
Yeah, yeah. Kudos to y'all if you lasted six rounds.
Make sure to buy all of our merch and to buy our upcoming pay-per-view and to tune in every single week for more throwaway matches with no stakes.
I think that's a good outro.